We're in the series, The Lies We Believe, and it's all about exposing lies and revealing truth, because we know, and this is our series maxim, in fact, we know that a lie holds the power of truth in our lives as long as it is believed. It's Independence Day weekend, right? How many saw fireworks? Anybody see those? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I saw them in my neighborhood till like 11 p.m. Kids are like, what's going on? It was terrible. Anyways, all right. So we're a little tired at my house this morning. All right? But even though it's Independence Day weekend, a lot of us still feel like we're slaves. All right? This temptation comes and we're just like, ugh, just slaves. So God desires that we would be free, like fully free. So that's what we're shooting for today. We want to get in on that. All right, let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. It is for freedom, Lord Jesus, that you have set us free. God, I pray that you might show us the truth today. I'm thinking about those three names that we wrote on the bags of grass seed over these past few weeks. God, I pray for those of us who wrote those names, bring those names to mind right now. God, we align with you today, and we ask that you would reveal truth to them as well. God, we ask that you reveal these truths to us in faith. And God, that the faith you give us might lead to action. And God, when we take that godly action by your grace, that you might show us the freedom that you so desire for us. Thank you, God. Above all else, be glorified today, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. So there's an interesting verse in 1 John chapter 2, all right, it's verse 16. And here's what John writes, okay? For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's the first one, okay? The lust of the eyes, that's the second one. And the pride of life, that's the third one, comes not from the Father, but from the world. There's three categories. And whenever we're tempted, those temptations, no matter what it is, falls into one of these three categories, all right? So let's define these just really quick. Make sure we're all on the same page before we go any further. The lust of the flesh, it's like this. I need something this morning. I need more sleep, okay? Something like that. Like you just feel like you need to have it. Second one, lust of the eyes. It's when you see something and you want it. You want to possess it or own it. Like, I want that. All right? Third one, pride of life. This is all about wherever I'm at, that I might be more, that I might be greater. It's this self-exaltation. And a lot of times it's accompanied by, I want to be greater than God. These temptations share a common thread. And they revolve around a central lie. And that lie has affected all facets of all cultures throughout all of human history. This lie changes everything. That lie is this: God is not enough. And the devil will pull this garbage every single time. He did it in Eden, right? Think Adam and Eve, he did it then. And he does it to us today. And we know he does, right? I mean, it's the same play over and over and over. Now, the comforting thing is, he pulled this stuff on Jesus too. But it played out a little different. All right, and that's where we're going today. Jesus, the reason it played out different is because Jesus knows the truth. All right, and the truth is this: God is enough. All right, and Jesus knows the truth, and then here's what he does with the truth. He just doesn't know it, right? He walks in that truth. And everything he does is from that spot of God is enough. And we're going to see him strategically make some action moves. All right, we're going to study him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, please. It's on page 1503 if you're using a church Bible. As you're turning there, Let's all understand one thing. So we're going to Matthew 4. In Matthew 3, right, the chapter right before it, here's one thing that took place. Jesus was baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, his whole ministry was started at that moment. Right, Holy Spirit came down, descended upon him like a dove, right? The Father said, hey, this is my son who I'm well pleased. That moment, it all started. Right after that happened, he goes into the desert. He's led by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, into the desert, wilderness to be tempted. All right, so here's what we need to think. Baptism, desert. Okay, right away. So what's the purpose? Because we got to ask that question. Why is Jesus being led into the wilderness? Here's three reasons. All right, the first reason is, in the desert, Jesus identifies with us. All right, so Jesus is God, right? But he's also man. So Jesus, he just doesn't come down and say, I'm God, and he just like is victorious in everything. Jesus comes down, and even though he's victorious in everything, he's just like us. He's our high priest that knows what it's like to be us and to be tempted. All the things that we're tempted with, he's tempted in those same ways. He's identifying with us. All right? Another reason is he's demonstrating his righteousness. All right? So it's not enough to say, God, you're righteous. He proves it. He shows us. All right, and here's the great news, is that he's triumphant. He goes to the desert to identify with us, to demonstrate his righteousness, but also to show us, all right, that he's victorious and he triumphs. All right, so he triumphs over Satan in the desert. Furthermore, he wants to share in that victory with us. Okay, so we get to see what was going on with Jesus when he was victorious. And that's such a gift. All right, we're going to dive into scripture here. We'll start in verse 1. We'll read just a little bit. All right, and then we'll take a little time out. All right, here we go. Page 1503. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Imagine that. The tempter came to him and said, all right, listen to these next words very, very close. If, you could also read since, okay? If you are the Son of God, and we're going to pause right there. We're going to welcome my good friend, John, to the stage. John, come on up. Let's welcome him. Here we go. All right, John, come on up, man. I got... And John doesn't know what's about to happen. He kept asking me, like, hey, what's going to happen? I can't tell you. I can't tell you. It would ruin everything. All right, John, here's what I'm going to do. Basically, I'm going to show one of the tactics of what the devil does, okay, and how he tries to get us to sin. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this red tape on the ground here. And I'm going to get a little clever here. I'm going to put it in the shape of a red cross, okay? Red cross, we think safety and aid and that sort of thing, a safe zone. Cross is also representative of Jesus Christ. Actually, the two are related, believe it or not. There's a red cross right there. Is there not?
Yes.
Okay, John, I want you to stand on that red cross. Let me move this out so nobody gets hurt. No one will get hurt. I'm just kidding. All right, but John, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to pull on your arm, and I'm going to try and get you off of that red X. All right, and I'm not going to be violent, so don't get ready, you know, do that, all right? Here we go. All right. I tried. All right. And John, whoa, you're pretty strong, man. Like American Ninja Warrior. He was on American Ninja Warrior. Did you guys know that? Woo! All right, John, you're strong. Hey, I couldn't get you off of there, could I?
Not with that try.
Not with that try. Okay, good. Now, the devil knows this, okay? So the devil knows if he tries to get us off of there and we know what's coming, we're not going to fall for it. All right, ready? John, watch this. Hey, John. If I give you a bottle of really high-proof alcohol, would you just drink it right now and get drunk? No. No, he wouldn't do that. Because you know, self-control is a pretty big deal to God, right? In fact, it's a fruit of the Spirit. So John's like, I'm not going to drink that. I'm going to lose self-control. All right? That's not a good thing to do. He wouldn't fall for that. But what if I can get John to go along with me? All right? And then use his momentum against himself. All right, watch this. Here's what I'm talking about. This is what the devil does, by the way. And this is what's going on in the text. If you are the Son of God, all right, he's coming alongside Jesus. All right, John, come back here, my man. All right, we're going to go for a little walk. And when we get to that red X, I'm going to try and use your momentum and pull you off then, okay? And I bet you it's going to be a lot easier once we have that inertia with us, okay? So let's walk together. Oh, what happened, John?
I didn't hit the X.
You didn't even get to the X, did you? And then I pulled you, didn't I?
Or pushed you.
Oh, I pushed. I didn't even tell him what I was going to do, did I? I pulled a fast one on him. John, that was terrible of me, wasn't it?
Yes, I feel very deceived.
So John's like, right? And the devil, here, I'll use an analogy. John, just have one drink, man. Just have one drink. There's nothing wrong with drinking. People drink in the Bible all the time. It's not a big deal. Just don't get drunk, right? If I can get alongside of him, one drink, right? If you are the Son of God, like, let's agree on something here, right? Then I can get you off the mark. So you got to be, he's crafty. I'm telling you guys, he's crafty. You got to be careful. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, man. Give John a hand. You got to watch out, man. I tell you, devil's been doing this for a long time. And he's got his go-to play. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him, right? So the second temptation is about to start. Then the devil took him to the holy city, that's Jerusalem, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" The devil is quoting scripture right now, by the way. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And he's twisting the meaning. Okay? Jesus answered him in verse 7. "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Third temptation is about to start. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. We're going to take a closer look at these three temptations. We want to see what was going on up here with Jesus, and we want to see what was going on in here with Jesus, and we want to see what he does with the truth that God is enough. We want to see how it plays out. The victory that he wants to share with us, we're going to seek to share in it with him, okay? That's what we're going to do. All right, so on your handout, you're going to see three temptations of Christ. You're going to see these one, two, three, and a lot of empty space. I am not going to fill in this empty space, okay? That's all for you guys. And here's what I would ask. If you'd like to, of course, write in there notes, observations, things you're noticing. Which one is which? Like, oh, the first one is lust of the flesh. You can write that in there as a reminder, all right? If there's examples of temptation in your life, like we're going through this, and you're like, oh, that is so what I'm going through. I know. Write that down, a little note to yourself, okay? But use this big blank area. I'm not filling it in for you, okay? All right, let's take a look, a real close look at what Jesus does in the face of temptation. All right, we're going to go to temptation number one, verses 3 and 4. And what we're going to find is temptation number one is all about lust of the flesh. All right, so the devil comes at Jesus. I'm going to do a little acting here, okay? So if you think my acting is terrible, feel free to put that on the comment card, drop it in the basket on the way out, all right? That wasn't even funny. Okay, here we go. Got to get in character. "Hey, Jesus, you're pretty hungry, huh? You know you haven't eaten for like 1,000 hours. It's a long time. You're a man now, Jesus. You need food. Your father knows that, right? That you need food. If you don't get enough food, you know, Jesus, you're going to die. You can't go on like this forever. Why isn't your dad giving you food? You know what, Jesus? You're going to have to provide for yourself because God is not providing for you. God is not enough. That's what the devil's saying here. All right? So I want to ask you, what in your life are you thinking? Man, I need this. All right? Jesus is there, and what he needs is some food. He hasn't eaten for a month and a half. And the one thing that he craves, the devil shows up and says, hey, why don't you go ahead and make that? The food, the bread, right? Is there anything like that going on in your life? Anything you're craving? Just, I gotta have it. My flesh is crying out. I gotta get that. Is there anything like that going on? Here's what Jesus does. He goes to his home base, right? His safe zone, his Red Cross. And he rests in the truth. That's his first thing. He's like, God is enough. And from there, he makes his move. And he quotes Deuteronomy 8:3, and he says this, man does not live on bread alone. Jesus is like, I know my Father. And my Father provides for me. He's provided for me my whole life. Why would he stop now? My Father loves me. You see that? God is enough, and then he makes his move. All right, let's go to the second temptation. All right, this is found in verses 5-7. Now, we know the devil is not predictable, right? So when we read this nice, clean ordering in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, right, it doesn't come in that same order all the time. And we see it play out like this in Matthew 4. All right, according to our nice, convenient verse that we found, lust of the flesh is first, and then lust of the eyes is next, right? But Jesus gets hit with the pride of life next, all right? The ordering is a little different. So the second temptation is all about the pride of life. All right? Once again, verses 5-7. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And here's kind of how it played out. So your Father loves you, huh? Loves you, Jesus. Guess that makes you pretty special. I don't think you're very special, Jesus. Nobody does, actually. You've been at this ministry of yours for how long? 40 days now? What do you have to show for it? I mean, who have you ministered to, right? Nobody. Your Father who loves you and your specialness, right? You're just out here in the desert. You're all alone. Nobody's benefiting from this. Hey, Jesus, if you are special, you're going to have to prove it. In fact, Jesus, you're going to have to jumpstart your ministry right now. Do we think about these things? Do we think to ourselves, wherever I'm at in life, if God thinks I'm special, right, I need to be more special. Is there anything like that going on? Like, we got to take matters into our own hands. I'm better than this. Because that's where Jesus was. He was feeling like, man, finally my ministry starts off. I've been waiting 30 years for this. And now my Father finally says, go. And I'm stuck here in the desert. Like those feelings. Jesus feels that stuff just like we do. And then here comes the tempter, right? Hey, Jesus, why don't you start it right now? He's speaking the language. Some of what Jesus is feeling. And here's what Jesus does, right? Gets to his home base. He says, God, you are enough. And from that truth, he makes his move. And here's his move. He quotes from Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Do not put the Lord thy God to the test. He's like, listen, I know my Father. I know his word. That's why I keep quoting from it. That's why when you quoted Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12 and you tried to twist the meaning, right? Because Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12 is meant for the reader to trust God, not to test God. And Jesus realizes that because he knows the truth. And Jesus is thinking this. I'm not here to test God. I don't need to test God. In fact, the reason I'm here is so that God might test me. God is enough. Temptation number two. He's victorious in that. Interesting note. Check this out. Psalm 91 that says basically, hey, if you get into trouble, God will take care of you. You can trust him. Devil tries to twist that meaning. Jesus doesn't fall for it. At the end of all this desert temptation stuff, you know what happens? The angels show up and they minister and care and provide for Jesus. And a cool little quality of that, that's the fulfillment, the true fulfillment of Psalm 91 verses 11 and 12. The very scripture that the devil used to try and twist and deceive Jesus, God uses it and fulfills it to demonstrate how great he is. Oh, that's so cool. All right, temptation number three. Here we go. You know it's coming. Lust of the eyes. This is verses 8 through 10. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I'll give to you. All right, just bow down and worship me. Here's kind of how it might have played out. Hey, Jesus, clearly you're faithful. I mean, whoa, you put me in my place back there. I tell you what, I tried real hard to get you two times, but whew, you didn't fall for it. You are faithful. But Jesus, you did say something that I'm not quite sure I can get on board with. You said your Father is faithful, right? Now we're up here, we're looking out on all the kingdoms, we're looking at all the splendor, right? And this was your Father's. And everything the Father has, he promised to the Son, which is you, Jesus, right? I mean, you are the Son of God, right? Well, quick question. Why don't you have it then? He promised it to you. Why don't you have it? You know what, Jesus? Your Father gave these kingdoms to me. Actually, you know what? I took them. They're mine. But if you bow down and worship me, right here, right now, I'll give them to you. Seriously, Jesus, I will give these kingdoms to you, right? Again, we can't let this fall on deaf ears. We got to realize, all right, the stuff that we're feeling, Jesus was feeling in that moment. He wanted the kingdoms. They were rightfully His. He's standing there looking. He's like, this is mine. This is why I came. I came to repossess everything, make everything new. And here's the enemy just saying, I'll give it to you now. Is there anything that God has promised to us that you've been praying about and hoping for? And you see it right there in your grasp. And you're like, Lord, I don't want to wait anymore. I see it, and I want it. And I want it now. If there's something going on like that, you're tuned in to what Jesus was feeling. He felt it too. And here's what he does. He goes to his home base. And he identifies the truth. That's where he's living. The truth is, God is enough. And from that truth, he makes his move. And he quotes Deuteronomy 6 again, this time verse 13. He said, it is written, worship the Lord and serve him only. And then he says, be gone. Jesus is so focused on his Father. He doesn't have time for all this garbage. He's like, God is enough. And he moves from that. And he defeats Satan in the wilderness. So let me ask you this. Was God enough? I mean, seriously, answer. Was God enough? Yes, he was. We fall for it, right? Jesus didn't fall for it. He's in the truth. He's staying there. Everything he does is from this home base. This truth, God is enough. And here's how he did it. Jesus resisted temptation. And I've got three ways listed here. You see these. All right, the first one is relationship with the Father. Right? It wasn't automatic. It wasn't like God the Father, Jesus the Son. They just got this perfect relationship now, and it's always going to stay that way. No, Jesus had to put energy into this relationship. You always see Jesus sneaking off to pray, many times in solitude, staying up late at night, waking up early in the morning. He's praying. You see Jesus going places, engaging in conversations, sometimes with the common folk, sometimes with the religious sect. And he's always in community, discussing God. And furthermore, he's playing it out. He's living it out. Everything Jesus does is all about relationship with the Father. He's dependent in his attitude and also in his walk. And Jesus came to restore relationship for us with the Father because it's broken due to sin. It's broken because we fall for this garbage where Jesus didn't. And he says, put your faith in me. Turn to me. And this perfect relationship with the Father, you can have that too. All right? The forgiveness that you need, you can have that in me. The bond that is shared with the Father, the creator of everything, you can have that in me. All right? It's that relationship. And that's how he overcame and resisted this temptation. The second quality, his knowledge of the truth. Jesus knew the scriptures inside and out. And each of his three responses were directly from the word. Furthermore, they were all from the book of Deuteronomy. And the passage that they came from is characterized by a word called Shema. And Shema in Hebrew means listen. Jesus was quoting scripture that was all about you need to listen to God. You need to look to God. And when Jesus quotes those scriptures, you know what he's telling us? We need to listen to God. We need to look to God. And that brings us to our third quality. He was listening and he was looking to God the whole time. He didn't take his eyes off of his Father the whole time. He's thinking about this peripheral stuff. I mean, he's hearing the words that the devil is tempting him with. Don't get me wrong. But he's focused on the Father. He's not focused on the temptation. He's not dwelling on it like, ooh, I do need some bread. I just need some bread. If I had some bread, I'd be bread. Not doing that. He's not focused on the tempter. He's not like, oh, this devil guy, oh, I'm just so weak. He seems like he's well-nourished right now. He's kind of intimidating. Oh, I don't know. He's not doing that. And he's not even focused on his circumstance. He's aware of it, but he's not focused on it. He's not thinking, I haven't eaten for 1,000 hours. Month and a half, nothing to show for my ministry. He's not brooding on that over and over. No, he's focused on his Father. And the text indicates that. Over and over and over again. Are we focused on God? All right, do we go through our lives focused on him? Does our every thought, our every action, our every word reflect this belief and this trust in God? Clearly the answer is no. But Jesus wants to share that with us. And through him, it is possible. Is a really interesting passage of scripture, very powerful, found in Hebrews chapter 12. They were struggling, they being the audience, okay? There was this church of Hebrew believers, and they were under extreme persecution. And they were tempted to give it all up. They were tempted to give it all up. And here's what the letter was written. It said, cast off everything. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Look it up if you want, all right? All this hindrances, all the sin, everything that entangles you, cast it aside. And fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then the latter part of verse 2 and also into verse 3 just talks about how great Jesus is and how he's worthy to be looked at. Don't give up in the face of temptation. God is enough. Don't walk out of here thinking anything else. That is the bottom line for today. God is enough. You forget everything else, you remember that. That's your home base. You make your move from that truth. We are no longer under the power of the lie that God is not enough. We have a choice now. And in the face of temptation, through Jesus, through his example and through his empowerment, we can resist the devil, and the devil will flee. We can do that now. And you know what? When we leave this place, it's going to happen. It's been happening our whole lives. Temptation come knocking at the door, right? So here's what we're going to do. I'll throw out a couple examples here. If you're in front of that computer, right, and you see something you're not supposed to see, or you're about to see something you're not supposed to see, and you know what I'm talking about. Here's what you do. You get to your home base. And even though you feel like I gotta have that right now, by God's grace, you say, God is enough. And you make your move from there. Psalm 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Right? And if you don't know these scriptures off the top of your head, you just get in there. Resist. Maybe you're shopping, all right? You're looking through a magazine and you see something that you just want. You just want it. You want to own it. You want to possess it. And you feel it taking over. And you can't stop thinking about it. You come back to home base. By God's grace, you say, God, you are enough. I don't need to entertain this. I don't need this thing. You are enough, God. And you make your move from there. Any temptation that comes upon us. Here's what God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I'll paraphrase. No temptation is going to come upon you that's too great. God will provide a way out or an escape. You come to your home base. God, you are enough. And if you need to, what you do, you get out of there and you escape the temptation. Sometimes even physically, I'm getting out of here. And here's really what we're saying. God, I agree with you that you are enough. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you that you are enough. God, thank you for setting the example for us and wanting to share in that victory with us. God, thank you for the ability to agree with you. Amen.